How's it going, everybody, and welcome back to From the Sidelines. I am here with Chad, Devin, and Noah, and myself, obviously Josh. We're on episode 75 today, and we've got 74 episodes for you to listen to previously. So if you want to go listen to those, you can check those out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you want to find us on social media, you can follow us at FTS Pod. If you want to find us on YouTube and go subscribe, you can find us at From the Sidelines Pod and TikTok as well at FTS Pod. Comments, questions, concerns, email us at theftspod@gmail.com. Quick intro, because we've got an emergency episode today. Conference play is underway, and we've got to get this out to you guys as soon as possible. So we're going to get right into it. Obviously, big UK fans, got to recap this game this past weekend against Tennessee. Pulled off the dub down in Knoxville. Wow, what a game, what a game. Ups and downs, what are our thoughts?
I know Noah loved the game. He was so excited he wouldn't even say nothing. So I know. Noah was locked in. But I mean, my biggest takeaway was how impressive Reed and Reeves were. I mean, they really demonstrated themselves as the two best players on this team. And you know, Rob provides a spark and quick spurts. And I think our backcourt is what's going to have to carry us. You know, our front court had 0 points basically, if you consider Justin Edwards not a front court player. So again, it's all backcourt from here on out. I love the 3-point shooting, the floor spacing. We got the horses in the backcourt to carry us, so that's what March is all about.
I don't agree. We need some production from our front court. I can't have a Nyensu playing 29 minutes and getting zero of all goose egg. We can't be having that. I need him to get points. If you play 29 minutes, you should be able to get points. Going back onto your point about Reeves, he got 37 minutes. He got points. Going back to Reed, he got 33. He got points. Edwards got 37. He got 16. He's getting points, and Onyewenso is not. I said with the W. I apologize. But we cannot be having that. You have to have some sort of scoring production from those big men. That could have cost us. We only won by 4 points. That's 4 points he could have had. He could have had them. That's my problem.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but if you have noticed throughout the regular season, he can't score.
I know he can't, but like, we got to fix this. There's no reason he can play 30 minutes and not score.
Yeah, I will give him credit. You know, he had some good defensive stops, was really kind of the anchor we needed at points, but you're absolutely right. Zero scoring, that's where you just got to rely on Z and switch them back and forth. It's still unfortunate, but it's just how we got to do. And obviously, you know, we had some guys step up, Reed and Reeves combining for over 50, and you know, that's still only like 10 more than what old DK Dalton Connect got. Like we said in the last episode, you know, he got like, what, 25, 10 plus 25 point games, and he's going to get another one, and he sure did. So,
DK.
I specifically said we can't have people dropping 25, 30 point games. We can't have that. Instead,
he didn't. He dropped 40.
40 is 40.
One. Yeah. I don't know. I thought Hugo was pretty pivotal in the defensive end of that game. I thought you know, he didn't even shoot a field goal attempt. So I mean, it wasn't like he was killing you on offense. He just was a non-factor. So I don't know. Like the backcourt was doing their job. He was doing his job on defense. I didn't mind it. I mean, sure, I'd like to have, you know, Prime Shaq out there putting up buckets. I don't blame
well,
you.
Jesus.
But I mean, like, you know, he's good 50% of the time on defense.
The other 50% of the time could be used for offense. That's all I'm saying. Like, just please. That's all I want.
I'd rather have Reed shoot instead, though. You know, like any possession that ends with an Ugo shot, probably a bad possession. Unless it's like a dunk oop or something. Like, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, I'm just gonna say the 3R guys there for me. You know, 27 from both Reed and Reeves. Basically the same name. Reed is like playing himself into like a number one pick up here. I see on some mock drafts showing up.
So like,
yes, indeed. But that's who I want. I don't care if you, Ugo and all them get 0 points. It's fine with me as long as the guards are producing. Our Antonio Reeves last year had one bad game. Guess what? We got bounced out of the tournament. I want the guard play to be on point next couple weeks.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, obviously, you know, around that game, mock draft came out, Reed Sheppard, number one draft pick. Do we think that's a bit high? Do we think that's accurate? Obviously, this draft class isn't nearly as stacked as what we've seen the past few years, but I don't think it's that hot of a take.
I mean, it's just like such an Anthony Bennett type pick. Like, I mean, like,
whoa.
I'm not saying he's gonna pan out like Anthony Bennett, but I'm saying, like, would you, like, how shocked would you be if Reed was actually drafted first overall? You'd be Bill Simmons going, whoa! So, I mean, I'm not saying he'll turn out like Anthony Bennett. I'm just saying there's no clear top-cut guy. And if you think he fits well with Wimby, which is the KOC's entire premise of the pick, which he does, I mean, that's a perfect two-man game, great floor spacing. You know, he clearly has the court vision. I mean, I think it makes sense in the structure, but there's, like, I mean, if you want to take, like, Asar or something, sure. But there's no clear top number one guy. And so, I mean, I could get it. He shoots 52% from three.
I was about to ask, like, if you don't take Reed, who do you take? Who's number one here for you guys? Because I guess at this point it would be Reed for me, myself. So.
Wow. I'll take
the Anthony Bennett reach. Excuse me. So.
Yeah. I'd probably take.
Is it that thin probably, where we just can't feed anything?
I know. I'd probably take Sauer. That'd probably be.
Sauer. Gotcha.
But I mean, Rob's up there too. I would take Reed over Rob for sure. So, I mean.
Yeah, I know you were talking about Reed playing with Wimby and how great they would mesh. I've seen a lot of Spurs fans in the comments on some of these mock drafts saying that they want to see Dillingham play with Wimby. How do we think that duo would match up?
It seems a little. He seems a little too ball dominant.
He likes to play with the ball a little bit too much for me to have to share with Wimby like that. I think a guy that facilitates like Reed does and gets those assists out, I think that'd be exactly what Wimby needs, because the Spurs hate passing him the ball. I don't know if you've ever watched a Spurs game with Wimby on the court, but if it's not Trey Jones, he's not getting the ball. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. So I think Reed's exactly what they need.
You're telling me you're not a fan of point guard Jeremy Sochan?
Well,
You told me that experiment.
The experiment would be generous.
That's Devin's all-time favorite character.
Yes, sir. Player. Jeremy Sochan fan. Too bad he hates passing the ball to Wimby.
Yep. So, obviously, big win for Kentucky there. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about some of the conference tournaments we've got here. We'll get to the SEC a little bit later, but let's go ahead and kick off with the Big East first. We'll do that real quick, and then we'll get into the Power 5 schools. Obviously, it looks like, you know, UConn's going to take it, number one seed. You know, they're probably going to make a run, always good in the postseason. So what do we think here? What are our predictions?
UConn takes this. I don't really think it's much of a comp. They have experience in MSG. They're 4-0 in Madison Square Garden. I think there's a chance they go 7-0 here. They're just too dominant. They look like one of the more complete teams for the tournament this year. I genuinely think this is just a clean sweep for the tournament.
Yeah, I got UConn winning here, but I think there's a couple pivotal matchups for, like, bubble implications in this bracket. You know, Seton Hall and St. John's first round quarterfinal matchup. I think the winner there gets a nice resume bump, especially for St. John's, because they're kind of on the outside looking in. And then if Villanova can upset Marquette or even Creighton, I think that would help their resume a lot. They're firmly on the bubble as well, and I don't want to see them in the field, so I'm rooting against them, because, like, you know, 14 loss Power 5 school, what are we doing? Give Indiana State the spot. Give literally anybody else the spot. Villanova's not good. They had a couple good wins, congrats, but they can't lose 14 times and still make it. That's ridiculous. But, yeah, UConn's going to win it. So.
Yeah, they're pretty much the only teams I could see beating UConn would be like a Creighton or Marquette, but the problem is they both got blown out by them in the regular season, so it's like they could, but no, they're not going to.
And Tyler Kolek's out, so yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm out on Marquette. Creighton is just, ugh. Every time I hear Creighton, I just gag every year when it comes to March. So.
Hey, now
they were good last year. Whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
they were a stud last year. I can't believe Ryan Lemhard left. Imagine Ryan Lemhard didn't leave, man.
Yep.
I was a big fan of that Creighton team. I don't know what Chad's talking about.
All right, so yeah, pretty unanimous there. We got UConn winning. Let's move on to the next conference here. We'll go ACC. Obviously, top two teams getting the double bye, North Carolina and Duke. So what we got here, predictions. I kind of lean Duke personally. What do you guys think?
You're going to be on an island on that one, I think, buddy. I don't know if you've seen UNC, but they already beat them twice this year. UNC is clearly the better team. I'm not a big deal. Duke hasn't beaten like a top 25 team like all year or something, like since 2024. It's been a crazy streak since they've actually beat like a ranked team. So I mean, I know the ACC is down, so there's not a ton of opportunities. But you're losing at home to Pitt. I mean, Pitt and Wake Forest tomorrow. Firmly a loser leaves town game. Yeah. So those are what I got my eyes on. Maybe I'm just a freak and I'm watching the bubble games instead of the who wins, but
yeah,
that's what I got my eye on.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, that's a good point. But also, you know, Filipowski's tripping rating is through the roof right now. So if he brings that out in the next couple games, then that's going to help him a bit. He's really embracing his inner Draymond Green.
His leg seems like it's fine now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm looking for Louisville to make it. Oh wait, no, they already lost. Kenny Payne with like a 5-1 yikes, loss to win yikes. Ratio. Is it like 5-1? Something like that. It's like 12-52.
12-52. Yes. Yeah.
No, they already got bounced like early in the day yesterday, and it's just like I was at work. I didn't even know the game was happening. It's just okay. That was quick.
Mm-hmm.
No, for real. You know, Pitt is a 4 seed in this tournament. That shows you how strong of a conference we're talking about here. Pitt being a double bye team. But no, it's not going to be Virginia. Virginia is another team that makes me gag. They lost to a 16 seed as a 1 seed a couple years ago for a reason. Nothing's changed. They're not going to do anything. I think North Carolina is a better team than Duke this year. They swept them this year 2-0. So I look for them to... It's hard to beat if they meet in the championship 3 times, but I think they can do it.
Yeah. Boston College is going on a little run here, eh? They're about to upset Clemson. They should beat Virginia too. I mean,
and so, speaking of Clemson, that was my pick to play with North Carolina in the final. That was my pick.
You're off to a hot start already. Eh?
I'm already off to a steaming start. But I genuinely believe they're coming off the loss to Wake Forest. I know that. But I do think there's a chance that they can reach the semis and knock off Virginia in the quarters. If it can work out, PJ Hall and Joe Girard really are a very veteran duo for me. So I'm a big fan of those two. I think they can actually sleep in and get in there.
Who wants to break the news to them?
I do. Break it to me. And just
They're down 17 with 5 minutes to go.
Are they really currently?
It's Boston College, baby.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't.
Quentin Post, and Claudel Harris. Having themselves a tournament.
Jesus.
I guess you default to Boston College now. That's your pick to make it.
I guess that's my default. Yeah, I guess. Jeez. I guess I'm going to start running ESPN during this and just keep live scores up during March. It's just going to work.
Yeah, and to y'all's point earlier, I think, you know, I would have picked Clemson to beat Virginia, and I think I'd pick Boston College to beat Virginia too. I just don't think Virginia's a good offensive team at all. So, you know, I think Duke easily beats Virginia also if Virginia somehow wins that game. But I've got Duke and North Carolina going to it, and I don't know. I just think after 2 losses, Duke might be able to pull it off. You know, they got Filipowski, so we'll see how that goes. Two North Carolinas, 1 Boston College, and a Duke.
Okay. Well, just switch me to North Carolina so sound insane, please. All right.
Three North Carolinas and a Duke, so that's the ACC there. Let's get on to the next conference here. We got the Big Ten tournament here, one of Devin's favorite schools. Purdue is the 1 seed. We also got Illinois in the 2. What are we thinking here?
I thought you were for sure going to say Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Yeah. I definitely don't have Purdue. Like, I'm good. They're not for me. Another team that lost to a 16 seed last year. Zach Edey's like, you know what? I'm going to come back this year. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to get bounced in the round at 32 next year. That's what we're going to do. Purdue has never been a team for me. I'm out on them completely. But then again, like, who else are you going to pick in this bracket? Like, again, Northwestern, double bye team. That shows you how good of this conference is. Nebraska, top 3 team in this conference. I'm good. Just give me Illinois by default. I don't know. Lincoln's from there. Just whatever. Anybody but Purdue.
Yeah.
I don't like any of those teams.
Yeah, I think I do lean Purdue. I mean, I think they've just got the most talent on the court. You know, obviously we've seen it. Classic ED, you know, just chokes, you know, whenever postseason play comes into factor. But, you know, it's just, you know, I think they've definitely got the most talent on the court. I don't really see them having too much of a problem here. You know, maybe Illinois, but I got to go Purdue.
Yeah, I'm a roll with Purdue. I feel like they always do pretty well at this tournament. Like the Big Ten tournament, they normally do well. You know, even back in the Caleb Swanigan days and stuff, I always felt like they were competitive and, you know, always on playing on Sunday. But I think they'll win again. But I like, you know, Ohio State make a little noise. Hopefully, you know, if they win a few games, maybe they're back on the bubble. They ever since they fired Holtman and got the interim coach, they've been on there. So keep your eyes peeled for Ohio State to make a little noise.
Think they can get past Iowa and then Illinois.
Illinois would be the toughest test, but I think if they get past Illinois, you might see them on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ride the train here. Definitely a big Purdue guy here. They have the third highest odds to win the national title. Zach Edey is Zach Edey, old man Edey at this point. Just his knee's got to be wearing down at some point. I do think that if the matchup with Michigan State happens on Friday, that's going to be a little interesting matchup for them to go through. I think that might be a little bit of a challenge for them, but outside of that, I think probably clean sweep through if they can get by that.
Yeah, they definitely have an easier road, but I'm on my own island here on Illinois.
Yep. All right. 3 Purdue, 1 Illinois for Chad there. Let's go on to the Big 12. Obviously, if you haven't listened to any of our previous episodes here, Devin did have Iowa State bet there, future prop on that. So go listen back to our last episodes there to find that out. We got Houston in the 1 seed, Iowa State in the 2 seed. You know, pretty decent. Obviously, Big 12 is probably the best conference this year. So going to be a good tournament here. What do we think?
I'm going to head off this with Baylor, probably. I'm going to head off with Baylor. Especially with Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough out for Kansas, I don't think there is an offense in the Big 12 that can keep up with Baylor's. And I think just that high-powered of an offense is just going to will them through the tournament. I don't see a lot of opposition being shown for them here.
Interesting. Okay. I'm gonna have to ride with Houston here, sadly. Yeah, of course I like Iowa State. The road loss to Kansas State, and they get their revenge, you know, today if you're listening. So hopefully they get their revenge over Kansas State and can make it to the championship game. But yeah, I'm still gonna pick Houston. I think they're probably the second best team in the country, and just the elite defense, I think, you know, comes into a bigger play here in March.
I'm going with the classic. Whoever wins the first four game type thing in the 6-3-11s. Like, I like this 11 seed, but if the other 11 seed wins, I don't like it. So that's what I'm going here. I like whoever wins the Baylor and Iowa State game in allegedly the semifinals, if they both make it. Whoever wins that game, that's who I'm going with to upset Houston. I think Houston might look ahead a little bit to the tournament. They'll probably be a 1 seed. And, you know, focus on that, maybe rest up their guys a little bit and get ready for the big one. But I'm going with either Iowa State or Baylor, the winner of the matchup.
All right. Interesting picks here. I got to go with Houston as well. You know, maybe the best team in college basketball. They're just very well-rounded team. I think I could definitely see your point with Baylor and Iowa State. You know, those are definitely the two teams that I think could beat them. Kansas, they're not going to win. They're done for. They don't have Dickinson, so it's just doomed there. So I got to go with Houston as well. So, well, we got 2 Houstons, a Baylor, and then Chad's got like 4 or 5.
Yeah, hedge your bets. Yeah, hedge your bets.
All righty. Perfect. Let's get on to the next conference here. We've got the Pac-12. Number 1 seed in this conference is Arizona, and number 2 is Washington State. What do we think?
You know it's a loaded field when Washington State is your 2 seed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's how you know it's a loaded conference. But my pick here is going to be Colorado. I like the 3 seed to pull off a couple upsets. I'm not in on Washington State. Just sorry, not for me. I think Utah might be the scariest game, actually. I would be a little worried in that first round matchup. But, you know, I'm not a big Arizona fan. They've kind of struggled on the stretch. Maybe USC knocks them off again. So I got Colorado, I think, winning this conference tournament.
I'm actually with Arizona. I don't think USC gives them another loss again. I think Arizona probably returns the favor and gives them a loss back. I think it's going to be a good wake-up call for them to go down the tournament and be a good stretch. They're also the favorite to win it, minus 150. So if you're a big fan of your favorites, always go there. I would personally ride out with Arizona.
Yeah, I like Arizona too. If they end up playing USC again, they closed out the season with a loss. They were on the road. It happens. This is the tournament on a neutral site. I think they'll be ready for revenge to win that game. Then I'm not really scared of anybody else, obviously, in this conference. So I think they're the best team, and I think they should roll through it.
Yep. Make it three. I got Arizona as well. Not that crazy of a conference. USC is a dark horse. I do like Devin's pick there with Colorado. I mean, I think they shoot like 40% from three, so they're really good offensively, and they're on the bubble, so they're going to want to win this game. They're going to come with an extra motor behind them, but I've got to go Arizona as well.
I will say that if UCLA does get by Oregon and they have to play Arizona, UCLA defensively might hold Arizona down for a little bit. I could see him scoring under 90, maybe under 85 during that game.
I thought you said hold him down. Did you say under 90?
Or under 85, whichever one.
Sure, but
you realize... Because it's Arizona still, Jesus.
Yeah, but you realize, like, if you give 80 points, you understand this UCLA team is, if they break 60, they'll be lucky.
Oh, no.
I mean, they better hold Arizona to under 60. Because this UCLA offense is worse than watching your grandmother shoot.
Oh, wow. That's really bad. All right.
All right. So, what, three Arizona, one Colorado?
Yes, sir.
And maybe a UCLA. We'll see. All right.
Maybe.
So let's get...
I can hold them under 85.
All right. Let's get on to the last one here. This is the one that hits home. We're obviously Kentucky fans here, so we've got to talk about the SEC. Behind Big 12, you know, you could go either way. SEC, they're looking great in basketball this year. They're always a football conference, but... We're looking like a basketball conference this season. Might be the best, definitely top two in my opinion. Tennessee in the one, Kentucky in the two. Kentucky obviously worked their way up to get that double bye. What do we think here, boys?
Well, I mean, if we're going to keep giving minutes to our big men and they don't score, I don't see us winning anything. Just double. Fierro has to score, and so does Onyensa. I'm sorry, that is a big theme with me. But both of them should at least, one of them should score. Both of them should both not score. That's ridiculous. That's preposterous. And I would love to see Rob get more minutes than 17 minutes in a game. I would love for him to get more. I don't agree with Edwards having more minutes than Rob. Finally, we're getting the wish given for Rob and for Reed and Reeves to get the minutes. Now we just want Rob. Please just transfer the minutes from Edwards to Rob, and we would be doing wonders. Just give him 25 during the SEC tournament.
Hey, he had some foul trouble in the first half.
He did have foul trouble. Did have some foul trouble, but I do agree with the fact that we should give him more minutes in the tournament more than that.
Yeah, I think my pick's going to be Kentucky. You could have gotten us a plus 400 before the tournament started. Probably might still be there tomorrow, but I like Kentucky here. I think we historically do really well at this tournament. We have like a good team, and I think we're probably one of the top eight teams in college basketball right now. So I mean, I think we got a pretty easy path too. I'm not worried about Alabama. I think Florida could pull off that upset also. So I mean, we've already beaten Florida on the road, and we should have beat them at home. So I'm not too worried about Florida either, as long as, Walter Clayton doesn't shoot 8 of 10 from 3. And then, Sunday, a tough matchup against Auburn or Tennessee probably, but, plus 400 to win that game, not a bad ticket to sit on. So that's my pick. Noah clearly disagrees, but I'm going to ride with the 3 R's.
I just don't like it. Betting that much on Kentucky, it's just not a fan for me, but that's just from PTSD at this point, so it's fine.
Well, I'm also going with Kentucky for two reasons. One, the winner of the Alabama game, they play at like 10 o'clock at night. Historically, the winner of that game always lets down the very next day because they play so late, they're out late, then they got to turn around and play at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. So the team that plays the night game always, and it's been us a lot of years that, you know, do it. So I'm not worried about those teams. I look for us to, you know, make it to the championship game, and then it's just really a coin flip on, you know, winning that game, if whether it be Tennessee or whoever. But we've shown we've beaten Tennessee on the road, and we can compete with them, even though we lost to them at home. But what are you going to do? I like us to win. We're hitting our strides at a good point here, and just keep it going. Hopefully, Cal finally gets this group going after, you know, just terrible March performances the last couple of years. So let's get it rolling this year.
Yeah. Yep. Make it three. I've got Kentucky, and you know, if you had asked me that a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have said that. But you know, the 4-5 game win streak we've had at the end of the season, I think really kind of swayed me in this direction. You know, obviously we had, you know, some tough moments there. We started losing some games, but we kind of looked like we've started to get back to normal. You know, some guys have been stepping up. Edwards has been. Had a couple games now where he's starting to score the ball better. DJ Wagner has been looking better since his injury. Had a couple double-figure games as well. Still got to get Trey Mitchell back. You know, if we can get him back.
Might as well just leave him in Lexington. Jeez.
I mean, yeah.
That guy is good for 5 fouls. He's turning into Eloy Vargas.
Yeah. That's crazy, because if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have never believed you. But
you and me both. He was, what, our second best player at one point?
Yeah.
Now he's not even top 8.
I couldn't tell you. If we could get him back to do anything, like even if he can't score the ball, just embrace like a defensive and, you know, rebounding role. Like, that's fine. Just do something. Don't look so slow. If we can get him back, absolutely. But even with the rest of our guys, you know, we've got people stepping up. Reed Sheppard looking like a number one pick. You know, getting Z more involved over the past few games is only going to help us come, you know, March and everything. And, you know, I got to go Kentucky. +400 odds, like Devin said, not gambling, not financial advice, throwing that out there right at your face. But if you do happen to, you know, throw some dollars around, we like that. We're not saying to bet it. We like it. But, yeah, I got Kentucky as well.
Good value. We like value here.
As long as Zvonimir gets more than 8 minutes, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I think
who was your official pick, Noah?
Oh yeah,
it was Kentucky. Did my mic pick that up after
Kentucky?
That's not what I heard.
But
I literally was ranting about the big men of Kentucky, and I said, "But my pick is Kentucky." Did it not pick up?
Well, the entire time I was saying pick Kentucky, you were over there looking like I said pick Arkansas. Like, I don't know.
I did not say it. No. Nope.
Plot twist of the century. All right, but we got four Kentucky picks there. So, yeah, those are our picks for conference tournament time. It's underway. We're going to get this episode out to you guys tomorrow on Thursday. So give a listen and let us know what you think about our picks. Let's get into some NFL action. Since we've been back doing the podcast, we haven't talked about NFL yet. But over the past few days, a lot has happened in free agency. Let's get running down the list here. What do you guys want to start out with? I think running backs, you know, that's kind of been a big deal. Obviously, we'll lead off here with Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles.
The guy gave the Giants ample time to, you know, unload him, do something. They made the playoffs. Did Daniel Jones have one good game, got like a 5-year extension out of it. Worst decision they've ever made. They had him for years and years, did nothing with him. Bro's like, I'm going to go to a rival in the division, to a team that actually can compete, since you all can't ever compete and you're just poverty. So I don't blame him for it, and, you know, I like the move. He can finally get something he deserves, some help around him.
Giants are dumb as hell for not getting something out of him. So just one thing out of him could have been anything. Just one pick, just a bag of chips, a fax machine like the Kyle Korver thing. Something. I don't know. You could have got something. I think Saquon's a genius for doing this. Having Hurts at quarterback, having AJ at receiver, having Goddard at tight end. They did lose Kelsey. I understand he was old, but that was still a solid piece of a line. He still has a better line than he's ever had in New York. Like, it's not even close. And he's not going to have so much attention drawn onto him on the offense. He's going to be able to have these different pieces that could help him exploit the offense even more. So I think he's a genius. And also, Tiki Barber, you're weird for saying what you said about him. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Do we think with Saquon coming to the Eagles, do you think Jason Kelce might pull a Tom Brady like move and come out of retirement?
No. He said on the podcast, he was like, "I'm already regretting it because it moves like that." I'm like, bro, this is not a good move. What is? I thought Howie Roseman was supposed to be sharp. what is he doing? This guy's been signing minimum and rookie deal guys, plugging him in the backfield. I mean, they have Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell. Like, they took Rashad Penny. It didn't work. They finally took, you know, a better player in DeAndre Swift, and it worked relatively well, but I don't feel like they're going to utilize Saquon to his full extent. I feel like his best asset is in the passing game, and Jalen Hurts, I mean, they don't throw the ball that much, and B, when they do, Jalen Hurts is not necessarily targeting, like, you know, check down dump offs or anything like that, so I don't think it's a great fit, and I don't understand why they would invest so much money into the most replaceable position in football. It doesn't seem like a Howie Roseman move. I don't get it. But here I am.
Here's where he says it's not for me.
It's definitely not for me. Definitely not for me.
I do agree. That's a lot of money for a replaceable position.
They could have gotten Zach Moss for $4 million. Like, I'd just rather have that.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And it's not like they need Saquon for, like, goal line carries. Like, they just tush put. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I mean, Saquon's a great running back. But you don't need to spend that much money on a running back if you're the Eagles. You could easily go after a guy, like you said, like Moss, you know, because they don't really throw to the running backs. You know, they don't throw the ball much at all, and it's, you know, tush-push city. So the running back position there is extremely underutilized, I think. I think Swift made it look so good just because he's that good of a running back. Big Swift guy. But I think they definitely...
I won't discuss the fact he was ranked like 41st in yards over expectation.
Okay, but that has to go with, you know, the fact that...
I'm just saying. I mean, negative yards over expectation. Probably not that good.
Underutilized. Great pass-catching running back and didn't get any passes.
Hey, Chicago agrees with you, so, I mean, maybe Ryan Poles knows something I don't.
Okay.
Same guy that hasn't traded Justin Fields yet and now has, like, no market. Yeah, that guy.
All right. But, you know, I definitely agreed with the fact that they wasted a lot of money there on Saquon when they could have just gotten somebody else.
Unfortunately for Swift, now he's in Chicago, like you just said, and his career is basically over because that's what happens to Bears running backs. Sorry to break the news to you, but, yeah, he's done.
It's such a shame. He's so good, and he's just keeps getting screwed every year because teams want to...
Well, because you draft him. That's why...
Whoa! I draft him and he puts up points. I'll tell you that. Especially when he was on the Lions, he wasn't even the primary running back. He was splitting time. Like, I mean, you know, if maybe he might be good in fantasy on the Bears. Honestly, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's just disappointing.
Chad, what do you think about the Packers running back moves? Moving on from Dillon and Jones and picking up Josh Jacobs.
I mean,
weird fit to me.
They take what's working. They're like, no, we don't want that. We want this over here. Kind of like what you were saying about Saquon Barkley. It's like, yeah, let's get this just stud running back who was good for 1 year on Las Vegas and then, you know, came back down to earth. But we must think he's still the great Josh Jacobs from 2022. I hate running backs. Like, you can get whatever. You can put me out there. I could get, like, 2 yards a carry. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't like it.
I need to see that.
But, yeah, now Aaron Jones is on the rival Vikings. I don't like it. He's probably going to tear them up because, you know, that's just what they do in those revenge games. I just don't like it. Don't like it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Pretty similar to the Saquon Barkley situation. I think they just overpaid somebody. He, you know, had a great season, and then this past season just didn't look nearly as good. So I don't think you can pour that much money into a guy that went a whole season and just didn't nearly impress us the season before. So I think you're.
And he's pretty limited as a pass catching back, which is right. I think was one of the best parts of Aaron Jones' game. So I mean, are they just gonna have Patrick Taylor or Emmanuel Wilson be the third down back? Like I mean, those guys are, you know, marginal at best. I don't really get it. Maybe they'll draft someone. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean they're just putting all of their eggs into one basket and then cracking them. So it's not a good look.
I think that's just going to be the theme of this entire free agency talk, gentlemen, is just overpaying people. Absurd contracts were handed out left and right.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you know Noah's team over there down I-75, overpaid somebody. Any thoughts on that, Big Noah?
Well, if you had missed the news this week, Kirk Cousins, 4-year...
$180 million.
To a 35-year-old quarterback.
Coming off a major injury?
Coming off an Achilles tear. A 35-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear gets a 4-year, $180 million contract because he was good for some games. Some. I'm not going to do that. Why are you doing that? Why is Arthur Blank sitting in his chair in his office connected to IV because he's going senile? I promise he's going senile. And he's just handing out these absurd contracts. And then, just when you think he's not going for other people who are washed past any prime they ever dreamed of having, he goes and gets Darnell Mooney, a Bears receiver. The man can't catch a cold. What do you mean? Oh, it drives me up the wall. Granted, Mooney is a 1,000-yard receiver. A little fun trivia for you. 2021. Look it up. If he can get back to that, and he's just going to be running in the slot next to London, he might actually be good. But there is a chance that I know that he will be able to maybe use his hands with Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. And I'm saying maybe because I'm being generous as a Falcons fan and trying to be optimistic. But
are you telling me it's finally Kyle Pitts season? That was my first big takeaway. I'm back on the train. I was fully off the train. You just sucking me right back in.
Raheem Morris, that type of offense with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, I think for all the fantasy enjoyers and best ball enjoyers and whatever format you play in, I think it's the year that you finally go and get Pitts in the third or fourth round and feel confident about it. Again.
I hope you aren't paying that price tag.
if not, but people are going to reach on him. I promise they will.
Nope. This is one of those things. Nope.
Everybody learn their lesson.
Nope. Things I will know. Death, taxes, and Atlanta Falcons offense being absolutely shit. I'm not buying into it until I see it. I'm not doing that again. Kyle Pitts year after year, Drake London year after year. I mean,
Bijan Robinson.
Is it crazy? Robinson. It's crazy. But the best fantasy producer in the Falcons franchise the past few years is Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know. You tell me. I gotta wait and see it before I go for that.
That's not true, because moving on to the next signing, Calvin Ridley to the Titans. He was a very good offensive contributor for us, who decided to gamble away his entire time on the team, you freak. And so what are your thoughts on that contract to the Titans? 4 years, 92, I think, is the 92. Value on that?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have the chance to sign a 29-year-old to a 4-year overpaid contract, I mean, you have to do it, right? If you're going to trade to A.J. Brown right before his prime because he wanted, 4 years, $100 million, I mean, you just got to do it. Now you got Treylon Burks and Calvin Ridley. I mean, that's got to be a top two wide receiver duo, right? No. Not even close. I mean, I guess they had to do something for Will Levis with D-Hop's up there in age, but, I mean, you're going to be a nursing home by week 15 at this point. Calvin Ridley was also not that good last year. Sneaky not that good last year. Probably
he had a good week one, I think, and that was
That was about it. It was not even the best wide receiver on the team.
Kirk
so.
Was just better, though.
I think he had one game in the UK that was good too. I think out of the two or three that they gave Jacksonville every year.
I guess I don't know. I just I was a little disappointed in his return season, so maybe he finds form a little bit in year one or two, but 4-year contract. Two years too many at least.
They're late on yet another receiver. They were late on D-Hop. They thought he was, you know, prime D-Hop. We saw last year how that was not the case, and, you know, subpar quarterback play didn't help. I mean, Ridley's probably going to go there and disappear from relevancy. Maybe not the first year, but definitely by year two or three.
Like, you can bet on it.
Yeah, he's going to disappear just like every other player that goes to that franchise does.
You think he dabbled on the Titans plus 1800 to sign him? Yeah. And maybe that's why he picked Tennessee. He's like, oh, I can get some money down on plus 1800 and sign with the Titans. I might as well get a nice little paycheck.
Well, speaking of another Titans signee, Tony Pollard. The Pollard Tajay Spears connection seems to be going the right way. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll just jump in right here. I was the biggest Tony Pollard fan last year going into the season. I was wanting him on all my fantasy teams. Dude was just not that good last year. He's probably just, you know, a change of pace guy. When he was with Zeke, you know, when the defenses get tired, they would bring him in and he would do his thing. Then he broke his leg, not been as quick, not been as fast or productive. They obviously didn't watch him play last year to think that, oh yeah, we're going to sign him to our team. Like, yeah, he's old Tony Pollard, just like with Calvin Ridley, just like with DeAndre Hopkins. They're just late on these players, and they're just not as good as they used to be, and I don't know why they signed them at this point. So,
I mean, this would have been a great team in 2022, yeah. I mean, yeah. 2021. Yeah. Now we're cooking, but yeah, I don't this is terrible signing. I mean, I get not wanting to bring back Derrick Henry, but I just don't understand why Tony Pollard's the guy. It doesn't really feel like the synergy matches with Tajay Spears either. They feel kind of like duplicates. Feel like they're better in the pass catching game. Pollard got his chance as a full time starter last year, and it did not work out. Rico Dowdle was arguably better, so I don't get that signing at all.
He was better, and he came out of nowhere. It's like, just put anybody out there; they could be better than your guy. It's like, who heard of Rico Dowdle this time last year? Nobody.
And this is what I go back to Devin's point of running backs are replaceable. You can just draft them every year and find one that's good. Ta-da! And it's just ridiculous.
I was going to say, what about Derrick Henry going to Baltimore then? You know, one guy comes into town, one guy leaves town. You got any thoughts there, Josh? A little RPO action in Baltimore? Tickle your fancy?
I don't know. I this is the downfall of Derrick Henry. I mean, he already showed signs of that last season. This is just, again, why waste the money? Like, you're not going to utilize that position. It's extremely underutilized in Baltimore, I think, you know, obviously. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, just let him run. Like, you don't need to waste money on a guy like Derrick Henry, who's, you know, up there in age as well. So I don't love it. You know, of course, Baltimore fans are going to love it just because of the name, just because, you know, he's an all-time great. But, like, I don't love it.
And you get the end, you're like, you're just blocking Keaton Mitchell. Well, why are we not letting Keaton Mitchell sign? Dude averaged 8.4 yards per carry last season. He was a pure stud. He was electric. And, I mean, I guess he's good at lightning to Derrick Henry's thunder, but... Yeah, you just don't need to drop $8 million guaranteed on a guy that's 30. I mean, Gus Edwards was serviceable. You could have just brought him back. I mean, I don't think Justice Hill's terrible either. These guys are just all basically the same. Some just cost more than the others. they were good 3 years ago. So, I mean, you're paying for 3 years ago production.
I just would have brought back Gus Bus. I mean, I think he was completely serviceable. So,
I'd rock with Keaton Mitchell, but that's just me.
Well, Chad, no. What do you guys think about Derrick Henry in Baltimore?
So, that's Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers. Is Odell coming back, or is he done?
No, he's gone.
He's gone. Okay,
I think he's going to the Jets, maybe.
Nice. So, that's an offense right there. But like, once again, he's just too old. Derrick Henry's, like you said, 30, and in running back years, that's like 40. Like, you're getting up there, especially for a guy his size who's been this big truck guy that's doing these goal line carries and is taking abuse. Granted, it's Derrick Henry. He's huge. He could probably take more abuse than the average man can. But I just think it's just all too little too late, or I guess too much too late in this case when it comes to contracts. I do think that it could take some pressure off Lamar, because now you don't know, like, oh, is Derrick Henry going to catch it? Oh, is he going to pass it? Like, oh, is Lamar going to go out for a route outside of the shotgun? Like, who knows? Like, I guess it kind of gives a varying offense that I agree with. I do kind of agree on that aspect, but once again, just too much too late.
When you, anytime you're signing a running back on the wrong side of 30 to a multi-year contract, even though it's 2 years, it's, what are you doing? I don't care how good the guy used to be. He's clearly got too many miles on him, and it's probably not going to work, especially when you have, you know, a guy like Lamar. Make him run the ball more. Keaton Mitchell was great last year. Justice Hill in the passing game on third down was great last year. So... Derrick Henry is just, his time has passed, unfortunately.
Yep. Well, let's continue the theme here with running backs who are starting to fall off in their career. We got Austin Eckler.
Yeah!
That's not where I thought we were going, but all right.
His fall off hasn't.
I thought we were going to your guy.
Whoa, what? No, what? he ain't falling off. He's just in a terrible situation. But, okay. Now let's talk about Eckler. Obviously, you know, he hasn't fallen off too bad, but this previous season was definitely a drop-off from what we've seen before. Now he's on the Commanders. Commanders have had running back issues for, you know, years now. So what do we think about this?
I mean, anytime you have the chance to sign washed-up, old, worse Antonio Gibson instead of just keeping Antonio Gibson, I think you have to do it, right? You get to pay him more money, you get less production, you get an older guy that's more likely to get injured, and you just don't get to feature Brian Robinson as much. So, I mean, I think it's just a win-win all the way around. I mean, poverty franchise, old, washed-up player, perfect match.
That's my whole thing. Where's Brian Robinson in all this? Why are we?
I assume he's just going to be the Antonio Gibson. I guess he's going to be the third down back.
Yeah,
there's no way you can run this guy into the ground. Like, he was only getting 55% of the carries in Los Angeles. Like, it wasn't even like he was a feature bell cow back last year. So I don't know why they're paying him so much money to do what Antonio Gibson is probably better at.
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me myself.
Old running backs, far away overpaying them. I don't get it. Somebody I want to touch on here also is one of Devin's favorite guys. Well, I don't know about anymore, but when he was on this team was one of Devin's favorite guys, and I know he was devastated by this. Gabe Davis going to the Jaguars.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I don't love the landing spot. Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, I think, are pretty serviceable options to compete with, and even when he had minimal competition in Buffalo, you know, he's still hit or miss. He'd have his ceiling games or his goose egg games. I don't know. I don't particularly love the landing spot. I'd probably prefer to stay in Buffalo or find maybe a wide receiver core a little more barren. But I'm glad they didn't bring back Galvin Ridley. I was really worried that, like, he's going to slide like wide receiver four if they brought back Ridley. So at least I know he's going to be on the field, probably, you know, stretching the field. So I think he'll probably be the same profile player in Jacksonville, maybe just a little less security blanket type receptions from Josh Allen.
I don't see four touchdown games coming from Gabe Davis anytime soon anymore. That's out the window. That's not happening anymore. But I do see him being a serviceable guy. I kind of prefer him over Zay Jones. Kind of more on his side.
I mean, they're just completely different skill sets. I think Zay Jones is like perfect slot guy,
right?
You know, safe, you know, secure hands, 10 yards, you know. Kind of like him and Evan Ingram are like the short guys, and then Kirk and Gabe can kind of stretch the field more. I mean, I think it makes sense for a wide receiver core. I just don't love it for, like, you know, a Gabe Davis truther landing spot.
Yeah, gotcha.
We also need Trevor Lawrence to complete a pass like you're playing with your son in the front yard. Like, but before he hits a deep shot to, you know, Gabe Davis down the field. Like, he needs to improve before we hit any of those long bombs.
I was about to say, I think this relies more on Trevor Lawrence's performance than Gabe Davis' performance here. I think that is one of the rare cases where it's not really up to the receiver. It's up to the quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence needs to figure it out before we even think of putting Gabe Davis in that wide receiver three spot where it's serviceable. So.
Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe a Max Jones season. Who knows?
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You got me. Okay, sure. Yeah, maybe the Pistons are going to win the finals. That's fine.
All right. Oh, wait, Joshua, let's go to your team then. So we were talking about my guy. Let's go to your team. What about the Bengals moving on from Joe Mixon, you know? Admitting he's washed, don't want to pay him, and, you know, bring in Zach Moss for cheap, one of my favorite guys. And you got Chase Brown of season sophomore year incoming. So, what are your thoughts on the Bengals' moves?
I don't hate it. I think Chase Brown has proven himself, you know, multiple times. I think if we can develop him, I think that's going to be better for us in the long run. Zach Moss, also a good serviceable running back. You know, I think they'll play off each other really well. The thing that worries me is T. Higgins, obviously. Doesn't want to be in Cincinnati anymore. Who knows where he's going to end up with. But, you know, with that, there's rumors around there that Jay Jettas might be coming to Cincinnati.
They're going to stay rumors, probably.
Yeah, they're going to
let you know right now.
Okay, yeah.
I wish, as much as I'd love to see that.
Yeah, a little LSU reunion would be dope, but I love it. I think get the young guys, you know, build them up. We save money. You know, we can put that money other places, so I absolutely love that move.
Yes, the opposite of what we were talking about. And it couldn't have happened to a much nicer team than the Bengals. They move on from their expensive, getting up there in age running back. As much as I hate to see him go, he's been great for us. But you want to – Chase Brown came on last year. They're going to give him, you know, a sophomore surge, not a sophomore slump next year. They signed a cheap veteran in Zach Moss to, you know, carry some of the weight. I like it.
This is exactly what I would be doing with my backfield. This is prime GM right here.
Yep, I agree 100%. This is the correct move and the best move I've seen all free agency.
Yep. Let's see it. Let's see you all do your thing, Bengals. I want to see it. Anybody got any last thoughts about Chad's hand? Chad, hand up. Chad, hand up. Go for it. What do
hand
you got?
Hand up. We're staying in the division. You know, this team up the road over there in Pittsburgh, they've been looking for a quarterback ever since Big Ben retired. They've been looking one for years. They signed a guy this year. Guess what? They're still looking for a quarterback. Russell Wilson. Old, washed-up Russell Wilson, who hasn't been good in, like, 10 years. You know, signs with the Steelers. Does Mike Tomlin magic, like, revamp this guy, or what? What are we doing here?
I believe in his play calling far more than Sean Payton's for Russell Wilson. I do agree with that much more. Also, he has Freiermuth and Pickens. I am a big fan of the weapons that he has. You know, Najee Harris.
Of the weapons. They just got rid of their best one. Freiermuth. He's like, you know, he's like a B tight end.
A B tight end.
Okay. Yeah, he's like, hey,
anybody
slightly above average. I mean, he's fine. And George Pickens, runs one route. He never gets open. You think Russell Wilson's going to be able to hit this guy 40 yards downfield? I'll believe it when I see it.
I promise you he has a better chance of doing it than Kenny Pickett, crazy Mason Rudolph.
Jalen Warren's about to go crazy with those dump-offs. That's what I know.
That's very true. I'm not going to argue there.
Russell Wilson's been washed since I was in high school. Like, this is crazy. I can't believe he got another job. You know, and Schefter's tweeting out, he signed a team-friendly deal. You know why it's a team-friendly deal? Because it was his only option. He sucks. Nobody wanted him. It was his only job. If he wanted to play football in the NFL, this was his only chance. So, of course, he's going to sign for 1 year, $1.2 million, or whatever it was. So, Steeler, I mean, he'll probably be 9-8. So, I mean, congrats. You're going to go 9-8. This is a great combo. Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson, 2024. A great combo.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. I don't see why they're going with this. I don't know what they want to do with Kenny Pickett. Maybe they just want to bring Russell Wilson around for a year to try to develop him. Like, I don't really know what the angle is there. I think just stick with the guy that you drafted and, you know, don't waste your money. Like, you know, old players wasting money, washed players keep wasting money.
This honestly might be an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, though.
I said that, and I got...
Just call it. I mean, like, it might be.
It might be.
That's how bad Kenny Pickett is.
It might be, but I don't know. It's just... He's not going to be a long-term solution. Obviously, he's a one-year contract.
Why is this not a Justin Fields team? Why is Justin Fields not on this team?
That would make sense.
This would be a great Justin Fields team.
Yeah.
I don't. But what do I know?
Dude's a weirdo, and no one likes playing with him. He's not good at football. I don't know why they do it. I don't know why they did it. Get a better quarterback, please.
All right. Any last thoughts about NFL free agency?
I got a couple like quarterback teams that I just don't know what we're doing. I mean, Justin Fields is available, but yet the Raiders are opting to go with a competition of Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And as much as I love Gardner Minshew, we saw you might make the playoffs. That's your ceiling. Like, you get a week 18 game to win the division, maybe. Probably not, because Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert are in your division, so I don't understand that. I just get Justin Fields. Or, B, if I'm Minnesota, I understand it's in the division with Chicago, but he's got to be better than Sam Darnold for 1 year, $10 million. Like, these teams just opting to settle for an 8-win quarterback at best instead of trying to revitalize Justin Fields. Like, I just don't understand why we hate Justin Fields. His price tag is probably a late second, early third at this point. The market's saturated so much because all of these teams are out. I would be the first person in. And I don't even think Justin Fields is, like, that good. But anytime you get, like, he has the potential, you can clearly see it. So you just got to put him in the right system and try to develop him. And you get a free year, basically, and then before you have to decide on his contract, if it doesn't work out, I think it's a good swing and miss. So that's my rant on Justin Fields and how he's still in Chicago today.
Very sound.
Beats Russell Wilson.
Sam Darnold better.
Yep. All right, fellas. We are coming up on an hour here, and you know what that means. That means that it is none other than a Chad's movie suggestion of the week. Woo!
I'm locked in. I'm ready.
We're locked in, Chad. Take it over.
Okay, well, first of all, somebody didn't do their homework last week, so we'll just skip that part.
Nope, didn't. Sorry.
Cashier minus 250 tickets.
Yeah.
please. Yeah.
This movie is near and dear to me. I love this movie. I wasn't allowed to watch it when it came out because it was obviously, you know, very filthy, but it was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. So we're going with an all-time classic comedy here with The Hangover.
Ooh. What a classic.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You know, you got the guy from The Office, Ed Helms, and then Bradley Cooper, who, you know, he's cranking out these god-awful things now. I don't know what he's doing now, but, like, let's go back to, you know, funny Bradley Cooper going to Vegas, you know, getting blacked out and stuff. That's what I miss about this guy. Yeah, but, you know, just the entire premise of the movie, they go to Vegas, just guys being dudes. They wake up, and after all being blacked out drunk, getting their drink spiked, they lose Doug, you know, the groom of the wedding for their bachelor party that they're in. There's a baby Carlos with them. There's a tiger, Mike Tyson's tiger, in the bathroom with them. They spend the whole movie trying to figure out how all this stuff happened, and it's just a fun time.
Chad, can you do me a favor and sing the tiger song? I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just want to hear your rendition. I just want to hear you.
No one wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody.
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty good entertainment. Yeah. But I'm sorry. Continue with your synopsis. I'm sorry. No.
I was pretty much wrapping up. Like, there's two other ones. Don't bother with those. They're not as good. Just watch the first one. Whoa. You know, Bradley Cooper on the end. He's like, yeah, we messed up. We can't find Doug. And he's just like, yeah, no, I'm... Or his mattress or whatever. He was just
The second one was pretty good, no?
The second one was good, yeah.
It was basically
the third one.
I'm with Josh. Josh is making terrible. A weird face.
I mean, they're fine, like...
What do you mean?
It's not as good, but
they're with the monk, that's pretty funny.
I don't know. I just think the first one's way better than the other two. Third one's
not that
good of a movie, I don't think.
But yeah, Ken Jeong was a nice little addition to it as well. His character was pretty funny. So,
my favorite part of this segment is like these are like these good movies that like I like this movie. You know, Josh and I pretty much tend to like these movies, but then somehow I'm just like, oh, that's a Chad 5-star. Okay, sure, catches me off guard like every week at this point. Like, like I didn't know Chad loved that movie so much.
These are all going to be Chad 5-star movies.
News to me.
What do we think? I do want to ask this. Where do we think The Hangover ranks in like all-time comedy movies?
It's definitely a top 10 for me. The first Hangover is a top 10 for me.
Yeah, it's probably borderline top 10. Yeah,
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't hate
it. It doesn't have to be, like, inside the top five or, like, anything like that, but, like, inside your top 10, I think, is completely respectable for that movie. It is one of the funniest movies ever made. Especially at the end when they actually, like, pull out the camera and show you all the pictures they took and everything and, like, see how wild it actually got, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole mattress thing, they're like, where's his mattress?
Right.
And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but, you know, they find the mattress, they find Doug. So it's like, how do you lose a mattress? How is there a tiger in there? Where'd the baby come from? It's just so funny.
Oh, yeah. Just so chaotic. It's exactly what you need to put a smile on your face.
Why am I married to a prostitute?
What happened to my tooth?
Yeah, so many iconic lines. It's a great movie. Check it out. Email us, tweet us what you think about the movie if you do your homework and watch it. Great movie, Chad. Thank you for that. Let's get on to the last segment here. We're going to throw out some bets. This is not gambling or financial advice from any of us. So anybody got some bets this week?
Wait, March Madness is just around the corner. So, you know, I gotta give this one out for you guys. It's going to be a real fun one. You get practically even odds on DraftKings, but it's a, you know, a little March Madness special here.
Oh, God. Nothing pisses Devin off more than even odds, I guess.
I can give you this one.
I had to say that.
I can tell you the play. He's not even said it yet. I'll just go ahead and tell you it's Indiana State to make the tournament.
It's really not. No, actually.
Oh!
Because I would have just stolen that from you, and I can't do that because I'm a nice person.
That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah. I have morals. I'm not going to do that. So. Plus, it was like 2-1 plus odds when we got it. Now it's not even worth it.
Yeah, true. That's why.
But anyway, so it's a little fun bet for you. Any buzzer beater to happen in the whole NCAA tournament plus 105. And this counts. Ooh. The shot goes in as the buzzer, you know, goes off. No other possessions, not 0.5, none of that. The buzzer goes off, the shot goes in, that's a buzzer beater. Any game, any all tournament, one time, plus one.
Does it have to be for the win, or can it be like the force OT?
I'm not sure, actually.
Probably for the win, I would assume.
I'm going to assume for the win, yeah.
It does say win. Okay. Shot to give team win as time expires, no chance for opponent to inbound. So, yes, it'd be to win.
I still don't hate that. Like, I don't think I can remember like a year where that didn't happen. You know,
there's 64 chances for that to happen.
Yeah.
68 if you want to include the first four.
Right.
So
I'm sorry.
And then some.
The math is not mathing.
Wait, 68 minus 4. It's 64.
That's how many teams are in the tournament.
Yeah,
keep going.
It's n minus one.
Oh, whatever. God, sorry, I was. Okay.
Number of teams minus one. That's how many games are played.
Okay.
So 67.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it. I it's good odds. I think, you know, it's, you see it every year. It's what March is known for. So plus odds, got to take it. Yep. Devin, you got a bet this week?
I mean, it would have been Indiana State to make the tournament when they were plus 195. I gave it to Chad. They're down to like minus 115 now. So, I mean, if you still want it, I still think they'll make the tournament, but I like it less since it doesn't have that plus in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one knows how I roll with the plus signs.
Yeah. If it doesn't end in plus, he doesn't bet it. So,
a plus and four digits followed by it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
No, I'm out.
Nothing.
I'm out this week, unfortunately. I do not have the play.
All good. I'll wrap it up here. Obviously, got some golf picks this week. We got three guys to look at. Got the player.
I'm sorry. You reminded me. I'm sorry. The hole in one on the hole 17. Go ahead. Take a shot. Enjoy yourself. It's a 25% profit boost on hole 17 to make a hole in one. So go ahead and say I gave you that. And if it happens, you're welcome.
Noah loves them some profit boost.
I do. Big fan of profit boost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a short par three, so it could definitely happen. We got the Players Championship this weekend. Do want to throw back to last weekend about the Arnold Palmer. We were making fun of Scotty a little bit, and sure enough, he won. So, just want to throw that out there. Congratulations, Scotty, on getting your first win this year. Let's go to the players, though. Got a few guys here. We'll start out first. I got Max Homa, plus 2,500. He had 16th place at the Genesis, 8th at the Arnold Palmer. I think he's just looking really good this year. He's going to do pretty good.
Who'd you say?
Max Homa.
Okay, okay. I was just double checking, making sure I heard it right.
Okay, yeah. You heard it, you heard it. So, Devin trolling me or what? All right. So, yeah, he got 16th at the Homa Genesis. Or Homa?
I don't know. I thought he said Homa, so I was like, I was going to be Homa. And they said Homa. They said Homa the second time, so okay. I had to refrain.
We'll review the footage. We'll see. We'll see. We'll leave that up to interpretation. But then I got 16th at the Genesis, 8th at the Arnold Palmer. He's plus 2,500. He's been looking good this year. I think he's one of the guys you need to take a look at here. I'm just going to rapid fire through these because we've gone a little bit over time here. But next guy up, we got Will Zalatoris, 4th place last week at Arnold Palmer. He's plus 2,800. And every single year in this event, he has made it to the weekend. So I think this is his year where you might want to place a top 10, top 20 bet on him. He finished top 27, you know, last year. So I think looking to that area with Zalatoris, top 20, top 10. And then last guy, this is my sleeper pick. I've got Jason Day. He got 6th at Pebble Beach, 9th at the Genesis. He is plus 6,000. And I mean, with this event, I mean, he got top 5 once and he has had top 10 2 times. So he's very consistent on this course. He's a good putter. They've got the seagrass green. So you're going to need somebody who's good at putting, and he's just the guy. He's got the course history, plus 6,000. Take him, you know, top 20, top 10, take him to win it. That goes for all these guys.
Before we go, I would like to give a shout out to Michael Page. Because he made me look good this week. He made me look good. And I got shamed. I got shunned for my prediction. Because everybody thought he wasn't going to do anything. But he did. He won the fight. So,
I was If you told me Kevin Holland was not interested in grappling, I would have been all over it too. So, I should have known better that you can't trust that guy. He just...
So, I just wanted to take my victory lap. I'm sorry. So, go ahead. I just wanted to...
I mean, congratulations. Congratulations. Kevin Holland won the second round, and then in the third round decided to do absolutely nothing. Like, I don't know.
Thoughts? You're over here just...
Well, I just don't understand what is... Against Wonderboy, he did the same thing. He just thinks he can outstrike these dudes who are, like, premier strikers. Like, that's what they're known for. And this guy thinks he's the same level, and he's just clearly not. And he's a BJJ black belt, and he just has no interest in using it. That's crazy to me. Gilbert Burns, on the other hand, Gilbert Burns knows his path to victory, and he's executing it perfectly. He just refuses to lay for one more minute and pull off the upset. Whatever. He fractured the dude's arm and still lost it. It's incredible. You just can't make it up. But thankfully, Sugar Sean saved me at the end of the night. But man, like, just a disaster.
Yeah.
So close to it so far.
Just let Paige fight Leon. Leon will knock him out. It'll be all over. We'll completely forget about Michael Venom Page. That walkout, dude, cringe.
Ugh. Oh my god. There's a reason. There's a reason Dana White said afterwards that we are banning this, because that is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, before this, I was neutral, like, on Michael Venom Page. I didn't really like him. I didn't really hate him. I don't like him anymore. That was the cringiest thing I've ever seen. Keep that in the WWE. Like, we don't want that crap.
What did he do? I'm sorry. I wasn't able
used the Undertaker bell thing when it free came out. Like, he does the dong on the gong. He did, like, the cringiest dance of all time.
Yeah, it's like Undertaker.
You have to see. Yeah. Go look it up on Twitter or something. It is the worst dance I've ever seen. And he just kept, like, dancing the entire time. Like, he just refused to stop. And so afterwards, Dana White was like, we are not doing dancing walkouts anymore. That is retired.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, if you had money on Kevin Holland, you would have felt better after saying that.
I was like, there's no way Holland doesn't submit this dude, knock him out. This is gonna be finished. But he gave up. And, like, that, God, that was the worst thing. It was Undertaker meets TikTok. Like, it was just the cringiest thing you'll ever see.
Oof. In your life. Yeah. Oof. All right. I'm sorry. Just have to take my laugh, but we got to relive Undertaker. Oh, well.
Just the worst thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, and who had a worse fight IQ between BSD and Kevin Holland? Good luck figuring that one out.
Right.
Just impeccable. Like, I pick a guy to win, he just has zero IQ.
What did you go on for the night? You went 2-for-3?
I went 2-for-3, but luckily I had Sugar to win by decision, so we were chilling at the end. But Thankfully, Chito Vera has an iron chin. Otherwise, it would have been brutal beats.
Iron skull. Didn't he get his skull fractured?
I think that was fabricated.
That was fabricated? Okay.
I don't think that was real. Gotcha. But.
Nonetheless, like that knee puts 99.9% of the people on this earth out like a light, and Chito was able to get through it. But good card, though. I mean, I was entertained for sure.
Yeah, it was a good card, and some other stuff that was fun on the other card, Almeida and Blades, exciting knockout and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a good card overall.
Yeah, we'll have to preview 300 here in a few weeks whenever it comes. But other than that, boys, I think that's a wrap. Devin, you want to sign us off here?
Yeah, of course. Feel free to check us out on social media at FTSPod. You can go ahead and check out our video feed. Also, if you're listening to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, you can go check us out on YouTube at From the Sidelines Pod. And if you watch any of Chad's movies recommendation or tell any of Josh's golf picks, feel free to send us an email and give us your thoughts. You can send us an email to theftspod@gmail.com. And, Oscars were this weekend, so if you listen to the Oscars preview and we gave you some good insight on that, let us know. So I know Josh and I had a fun time watching that. Chad, Joe watched it too, so we had fun times Sunday night watching that. So, yeah, feel free to check us out.
All right. Bye. Have a great time.
Good time.